Barrett Salee, BleacherReport.com. BleacherReport.com. Both of them cover the Southeastern Conference. A little bit of a roundtable discussion on some of the things, some pressing issues involving the Southeastern Conference. Russ Mitchell, I hope you're doing well.
Always a pleasure to spend my afternoon with the great folks of the state of Alabama and Barrett Salee.
Barrett, same to you. I hope you're doing well. Are you ready for the debate roundtable discussion?
I am, and I'll just warn the listeners that Russ always says right, and, you know, we used to work together at College Football News and got into several debates almost every single day, and I was batting about.
I'm always right.
But that gets you to the Hall of Fame.
Okay. All right. So basically, we shake hands here, and nothing is held personable for the next 15 minutes, right? So you guys don't hold this accountable to each other. You just debate it, then we'll walk away shaking hands in 15 minutes.
I consider it my public service in the edification of young Mr. Salee.
Okay. All right. So let's get it started. Let's talk about Alabama and West Virginia. First snap on Saturday. Russ Mitchell, who takes the first snap in Alabama's game?
Sims. And I think simply because he's been there longer, and if you've got a situation where you're 50-50 or undecided, you let the guy who's been there longer take the start as a way of rewarding him for his service and the time that he spent. I think that you'll see both quarterbacks, more importantly, play in the first two games, if not the first three games, and then I wouldn't be surprised if it's Coker who gets the starting knock.
Barrett, your turn. Who takes the first snap at Alabama's game against West Virginia, 2:30 Saturday afternoon in Atlanta?
Well, this is new territory for me and Russ, because I actually agree with them. I think, you know, at this point, since you haven't had a starter sort of emerge, if you're Nick Saban and Lane Kiffin, you go with the veteran just because, you know, you at least want to get off on the right foot in that game. And if they're close, then the veteran wins out. So I would say Blake Sims gets the start. I think they probably have a plan. They want a specific pitch count for each player, a specific amount of snaps each one gets in the game. And I expect the same thing to happen in week two versus Florida Atlantic. But I do think week three, one starter is going to be the guy. Because, you know, I think a lot of people are pointing towards that Florida game as when sort of like the drop dead, you know, mark where you have to have a starter named in Tuscaloosa. I think it's week three because you want to have, you know, your starter go in with a full week of preparation for week
30
three.
30 seconds, Sally.
No, but I say you want to have the starter have the experience of preparing going into week three. That way, there's nothing going to be too surprising heading into that Florida game with the tough defense.
Okay, that Max, it almost means that you just answered the real question, because the next question, November the 8th, Alabama travels to LSU. In your opinion, Barrett, who's the starting quarterback?
I'm going to say Blake Sims. This is not something, ask me last week, I would have said Jake Coker. But I think the more this goes along, the more it sort of seems like Jake Coker is living up to expectations. So I'm going to say that it's Blake Sims. I think that he brings something more with his legs. And if he's close right now, then you go with the senior and you go with the guy that provides a little bit more athleticism with his legs.
Russ Mitchell, who starts against LSU on the road?
Brian, we talked about this back at SEC Media Days, and in fact, Barrett and I think we were in agreement back then. You know, everyone thought that Coker was just going to walk on water on his way from Tallahassee down to Tuscaloosa, and it hasn't happened. But I can tell you this, if it's Sims under center, I don't think Alabama wins a national championship. I just don't think the upside is there. So I have to think Kiffin and Saban will do everything they can to get Coker in a position to be the starter by that point in the season.
All right, I don't want to spend all the time on Alabama, but I want to spend a couple of initial questions here on the Tide. We talked about the quarterback. Since 2008, Alabama has led the SEC in defensive play six consecutive years. Can they make it seven, Russ Mitchell?
Absolutely. You know, I think that the defensive line, you know, the best defensive line in the history of Alabama, or at least under Saban, was 2009, and we can talk about that some other time. But, you know, recently there's been some difficulty putting more pressure on the quarterback. I think we see that change this year. I think the defensive line is better and deeper than it's been in the last few years, and I think that's going to help out a lot. A lot of folks have questions about the secondary, but not. I think there's some issues there. But I think on the whole, this will be another defense that's on par. Kirby Smart will have him playing like he's had him playing in the previous few years.
Barrett, your turn. Can Alabama go 7 in a row, which has never been done, by the way? There's never been more than 2 years by the same team consecutive. Alabama's going for year number 7 to lead the SEC in total defense. Barrett, can they do it?
I think they can. I don't think they will. I think Florida may edge them out. But, you know, I think they certainly have the talent at Alabama. They'll be right in that discussion. I think, you know, the secondary concerns are legitimate. Bradley Selby and Cyrus Jones, the answer at corner, they weren't last year, but maybe they are this year. They'll certainly get, helped out by a front seven that is, like I said, really, really similar to 2009, because I think the versatility of the three big men up front. You got A'shaun Robinson listed at the nose on the depth chart right now. A'shaun Robinson is athletic enough to play, that defensive end at that 3-4 system. You got Jonathan Allen, who is just a freak of an athlete. Petway, who's a defensive end right now, he can play tackle too. And there's so much versatility across the board that I just love those guys. So I think they'll be in the discussion. I don't think they will be the best defense in the SEC. I think Florida will win that title this year, but they'll be in the discussion for sure.
Will Muschamp, great segue into the Florida Gators. You talked about their defensive unit. Let's go to Florida for a couple of minutes. At what point, let's just make it an easy question. This time next year, will Muschamp be coaching the Florida Gators? Barrett, we'll start with you.
Absolutely. I absolutely think that Will Muschamp keeps his job. I think Florida goes 9-3 this year. And I love the change from the pro style to Kurt Roper. And the hurry up, no huddle, the right fit is a philosophical change that fits what Florida has. And, I think when you look at what Florida needs to be, they need to be competitive. And the thing is, they don't need some Gus Malzahn type renaissance offensively. They just need to be adequate because they have such a great defense. And the schedule is not as daunting as a lot of people are making out to be. Missouri is not tough. LSU is not great. South Carolina, I think, is the most overrated team in the conference. All those games are in Gainesville. I think Florida goes 9-3.
Barrett Salee right down with us. Russ Mitchell with us from College Football News. I'll flip that. Will Muschamp have a job this time next year, Russ Mitchell?
I think he has a job. I don't think Florida goes 9-3. 9-3 means they're beating LSU, who, we all agree LSU is going to have a bit of a down year this year. Wisconsin's having to look at high school tape to figure out who they're going to be playing when LSU takes the field, so that's not a good sign. But who's the other win? Is it Georgia? Are they going to beat Georgia, Florida State, Alabama, or South Carolina? I don't see them winning any of those games. I think the defense, though, is going to be spectacular, and once again, and that's what Muschamp is known for. And I think that Foley, the athletic director, has made it clear that Muschamp's his guy. If they're 8-4, I think that gets him another year.
But you look at the defense, that was not the problem last year. It was the offense, keeping the defensive side of the football on the sidelines. An offense could be a defensive best friend in this game, and it was last year. Florida probably had the best defense in the conference, but it didn't show up on paper because the offense couldn't keep them off the field.
No, they couldn't, and I think that's what changes this year. I think Florida right now, their offense is going to be – they don't need to start to rack up 500 yards offensively in a game. They need to rack up 420, and I think at that point they're a truly competitive football team.
All right, so let's move on. 4,500 yards rushing for the Auburn Tigers last year. How close do they get in year number 2 under Gus Malzahn?
Oh, I think that they get as close, if not exceed it. I think that, this is an offense that's based on timing. And the most important player in that timing is the quarterback. And Malzahn has a good one in Nick Marshall coming back, a young man who's more experienced with the offense, therefore more experienced. I don't want to say Trey Mason wasn't important. He was very important. But, in that type of scheme, I think both running backs that they have, three that they could fit in that will all be able to put up good yards. I expect to see Auburn with rushing yards very similar to last year.
Yeah, I sort of agree with Russ. Trey Mason was a great running back in a great system, and the great system's still there. And so, Gus Malzahn, 11 1,000-yard rushers in 8 seasons as a college head coach or an assistant coach. He's going to get the job done. I don't think they match their rushing output last year, but I think they're sort of in that same ballpark. And then I think the extenuating circumstances and the big factor is how much of an uptick will that passing offense take? A few hundred fewer yards rushing coupled with, 1,500 extra passing yards, Auburn's offense is just going to be filthy.
8 teams right now in the AP Top 25 that represent the SEC: Alabama, Auburn, South Carolina, Georgia, LSU, Ole Miss, Texas A&M, and Missouri. Which team falls out of the top 25 first? Russ?
Barrett gets to go, but I think he better say Texas A&M because they're about to get blown. They're about to get blown out on Thursday against the South Carolina defense that's having great, you know, a really good time flipping back and forth with this new experiment on the 3-4-4-3. And you know, I think Texas A&M has. Last year, I told you all I thought Florida was the most overrated team in the country. I think A&M is the most overrated team in the country this year. I'd be shocked if they win three games in conference.
Well, you know, I'll quantify my response a little bit. I think A&M will be the first team to drop out, but they're not going to get blown out by South Carolina. In fact, Russ mentioned South Carolina's defense. That's more of a liability than it is a strength. Three new starters on the defensive line, a completely new secondary that's relying on two and possibly three true freshmen. That's a really, really bad recipe, especially when you're going up against Texas A&M offense that has got weapons everywhere, and Kevin Sumlin still calling plays with Jake Spavadal. So I do think Texas A&M drops out of the top 25 first because I think they'll lose to South Carolina. But I think
by how many points?
Loss. I think it's probably 14. A touchdown game either way. I'd say it's a touchdown game
14.
Either way. But I do think the most overrated team in the SEC is Missouri at 24. Missouri is not a very good football team. They can't replicate what they did last year. They're not going to be the first to fall out because they'll probably be 4-0 by the end of September. But they won't be there for very long after that because the rest of that schedule is going to get them.
Are you buying the Ole Miss hype? I guess I'll make it up and go to Barrett. Barrett, are you buying the Ole Miss hype?
Yeah, I'm buying the Ole Miss hype in the sense that I think they're going to be competitive in every single football game. You know, I love that defense. That could be one of the best secondaries in the entire country. When you have Cody Pruitt and Tony Connor and CJ Hampton and Trey Elston and all those guys, they're just loaded in the secondary. I think they'll benefit from a full season of Robert Kendici at defensive tackle and a healthy CJ Johnson at defensive end. I'm buying the Ole Miss hype. I think they're a 9-3 team with losses to LSU, Auburn, and Alabama. I would be completely floored if they weren't competitive in every single game. They're going to be in position to spring some upset.
Russ Mitchell?
Yeah, I'm buying the hype as well. You know, I think that I agree with Barrett on the defensive side of the ball. I think that they're stacked and evenly stacked from the secondary all the way to the line. They've got depth. They've been playing a lot of young kids who are now older kids. Offensively, they've got skill position at, you know, and very talented position at least one at wide receiver, offensive line. Bo Wallace is the most experienced quarterback returning in the SEC. You know, you have to expect. I actually have them with only two losses, Auburn and Alabama. If you're an Ole Miss fan, this is the year, man. This is the year. You, with Bo Wallace being a senior, this is the year you want everything. If they stay healthy and other teams get nicked up, then this is the best chance I think Ole Miss is going to have in a while to win it, but I still think it's going to be Alabama and Auburn.
All right, offensive player of the year in the SEC. Who's that number one guy that you believe is the offensive MVP of their team in the SEC? We'll start with Russ Mitchell.
Nick Marshall, I think that Auburn once
really?
Again is. you think? I think they're once again positioned to be, have, you know, a tremendously explosive offense and absent injury, which is the only way we can do these sort of predictions. You know, they're the best position. They're also going to be in some very competitive games where I expect other teams are going to score points, which will put pressure on Auburn to score points. So I think you'll see. You know, in that offense, there's a lot of high-scoring games anyway, so I expect there to be more than enough stats to justify him getting the MVP award for offense at the end of the year.
All right, Barrett, do you confirm or deny here?
Well, you know, I agree with Russ. Nick Marshall's going to put up PS4 numbers. I mean, he did last year. He's going to be much better through the air. And then, like Russ said, there's going to be times where Auburn kind of has to put up a lot of offense, and Nick Marshall's going to be that trigger man. But for the sake of diversity, I'll switch to a different division. I'll go with Todd Gurley at Georgia. If he's healthy, and like Russ said, you have to make these predictions with the assumption that everybody's going to be healthy. Todd Gurley's the best running back in all of college football, by far. Just huge, massive individual, has track star speed. That's what he used to do in high school. He can absolutely be a workhorse in that offense. Love him as a running back, love him as a receiver out of the backfield. I think they'll rely on him. You know, I like Hudson Mason a lot, but I think they'll rely on Todd Gurley anyway, because why wouldn't you? So I think, you know, since I'm sort of forced to choose somebody not named Nick Marshall, I'll say Todd Gurley. I think Georgia's the SEC champ, and I think Todd Gurley's the reason why.
Just a simple yes or no response. We'll start with Russ. Nick Marshall, can he get to 2,400 yards passing, or does he? Yes or no?
No.
Barrett? 2,400 yards passing.
I'd say yes, and I think he blows that number out of the water. I think he's dancing near 3,000.
All right, funny question here. Gus Malzahn walks into Bryant-Denny Stadium and beats Nick Saban 2 years in a row. Does Nick Saban go to Lake Burton and retire?
He'll go to Lake Burton, but he won't retire.
Yeah, I don't think that Mr. Saban is retiring until he gets at least a couple more rings.
All right, final question, which is probably the most important question of the whole conversation here. Right now we're talking with Russ Mitchell, College Football News. You can connect with Russ on Twitter. Barrett Salee, BleacherReport.com, lead SEC college football writer, both of them on Twitter. Very active there, interactive, a lot of fans. When we get to the college football playoffs, can the SEC get two teams in this Final Four? Barrett, we'll start with you.
Is it
Barrett's turn?
Go let Barrett go.
Okay. Barrett?
Especially in year one, there's just no chance of the SEC getting two teams in, unless there's absolutely no other option like 2011 when Alabama and LSU were two of the top two teams. Look, they are making conference championships a point of emphasis. They're not going to ignore that. This is designed to be a national spectacle. The way it's a national spectacle is if you have teams from around the country, especially in year one, but I don't think I think it's going to be hard no matter what.
So last year would have been two teams in the playoff. The year before would have been two SEC teams in the playoff. If everything holds true to form, you know, there's a good chance that Auburn loses one game, given how tough their road schedule is this year, leading into the Iron Bowl. They'll be ranked sixth or seventh. Alabama, there's a good chance they'll be undefeated, ranked one or two. If Auburn goes into Alabama and wins in a tight one, history has shown that Alabama's not going to drop very far. They'll probably drop a couple of spots to four. Now, look, the College Football Playoff Committee wants controversy, but the last controversy they want is for a number four-ranked Alabama, because all of us, all the fans and all the media, we're conditioned to look at the poll. The last controversy they want is for a number four Alabama to be left out. So, yeah, there's absolutely a chance that you could see two teams from the SEC.
But will it happen, Russ? Go on the record. Will it happen, yes or no?
No, I don't think it'll happen.
See, you
I
agree with Barry. You just went around the conversation with it.
That's right. See, Russ is just an instigator.
I think that the bigger question, actually, is who gets left out, a Big Ten champion or a Big 12 champion? Because, the winner... Go ahead.
I would say the Big 12 champion just in. The Big 10 left out. I think let's just assume that it's Oklahoma, okay? That means they beat Tennessee, which is not a great win, but it's at least an SEC win. And then they beat everybody. You would assume everybody else in a, I would say, decent Big 12. The Big 10 right now, I think, aside from Michigan State, I think it's viewed largely as a joke. Ohio State does not have the cachet it did when Braxton Miller was healthy. I just don't see the power of the Big Ten.
Wait, so you mean you meant that the Big 12 champion would get in and the Ten would be out? Yes,
yes,
I agree. Yeah, no, Barrett's right. The Big Ten right now, I mean, look, I've said this before on your show, Ryan, but if you want to look from 2013 to 2009, Ohio State only played four teams that were ranked in the top 10 during the regular season. Four. And by the way, one of those wasn't even from their conference. It was USC. The Big Ten for the last 5 years has been so weak, they just don't put together enough. And now that we actually have a committee that's supposed to evaluate at some level the competition that these teams are playing against, if it's a winner of a Big 12 versus a winner of a Big Ten, I don't see how the Big Ten gets the nod, particularly now that Ohio State's been weakened.
All right, so Russ, we're out of time. We'll do this again. I mean, this is a lot of fun talking around about conversation. For one, we appreciate both of you guys for being a huge part of our show in Tuscaloosa. Both of you get a lot of response when we're on Twitter and a lot of interaction from the fans here in Tuscaloosa. And we appreciate you guys doing this roundtable discussion, talking a little college football. It's game week, guys. It's game week.
Mr. Sally, double-digit points, South Carolina over Texas A&M.
He's crazy. South Carolina is the most overrated team in the SEC. And don't forget
that. Oh, my goodness.
Russ is always wrong in everything.
We'll talk
I hope
soon,
you guys
friend.
Are both wrong, because both of you picked Auburn to beat Alabama. So we hope you're both wrong.